Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, and the pool's name was Bethesda, and it had five roofs. And by this pool laid a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. There was one man that had been laying there for 38 years. And so when Jesus saw him laying there, he knew he had been there a long time. And Jesus said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "I have no one to put me in the pool. And when the water is stirred up, another person gets in before me." Jesus said, "Stand up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once this man was healed, and he took up his bed and he walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man told me to stand up, to take up my bed, and walk." They asked him, "Who is this man that told you to stand up, take up your bed, and walk?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. And so afterwards, Jesus found the man in the temple and said, "See, you are well. Now go and sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." The lesson tonight is quite simple. Stand up. Stand up. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us the ability to stand on our own two feet. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the Bible. But one thing I have noticed is that the Bible is somewhat of an acquired taste. You don't just pick up the Bible for the very first time, having never read it, and never put it down again. See, because as you grow, you begin to understand that the Bible is not something you just pick up and read. It's something that reads you. And when it does, it will kill you. It'll kill your pride. It'll kill your bitterness. It'll kill your selfishness. And it will kill your anger. But the awesome thing about dying is that it gives way more room for the Holy Spirit to live. And since He knows how to live way better than we do, we have to die quicker. But it's amazing to me the amount of people that still hold on. "Oh, I'll follow Jesus and I accept the call. But if that doesn't work out, then, you know, I got this as my backup plan. Or I'll do exactly what Jesus Christ asks of me. But if that doesn't pan out, I've got plan B." What I want you to understand this evening is this. There is literally nothing behind Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I love Him obviously because He's my Savior. But probably one of the things that I love the most about Jesus is that whenever He speaks into a situation, things have got to change. He is God wrapped in flesh. And so when He speaks, His word cannot, it will not, and it should not come back void. Whenever He speaks, His word accomplishes every single thing that it has set out to accomplish. I also love Jesus because He's just so creative. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but if you look at His ministry, There is literally no consistent pattern with Jesus. One moment, Jesus will just walk up to some dirt and go, pfft. He'll get that mud and he'll put it on some guy's eyes, and then he'll say, go and, you know, find some water and put it over your face. And he doesn't even guide the guy by the hand to take him to the water. And sometimes Jesus just wants to have a conversation. You here to get some water? Yeah. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with right now is not even your husband. And she becomes an evangelist. Mary and Martha come up to Jesus frantically, and they're like, listen, if you would have actually been there, Lazarus would not be dead. And so Jesus is like, well, where is he? Well, he's in a tomb and he stinks. Okay. Well, I'll take care of it. And so Jesus actually goes to the tomb, but if you notice, he doesn't actually get right up on it, and they're probably like, see, I told you he stunk. And so here he is standing away from this tomb, and all he says is, Lazarus, arise. And they're like, I thought you said that you were going to go in there. And he's like, I did. I sent my word in there. And see, whenever I speak into a dead situation, things always come back to life. What I want us to understand is this, that we are not dealing with a conventional God. We do not serve a mundane creator. So when God speaks, you listen. And when God speaks, restoration, it happens. So in John chapter 5, Jesus walks up to this pool that's called Bethesda. And there are confirmed lame, sick, paralyzed people by the edge of this pool. And so according to ancient tradition, what would happen is this angel would come by and the angel would touch the water. And when the angel touched the water, bubbles would come up from the bottom. And when the bubbles came up and you heard the bubbles, you got in because that water supposedly had healing powers. Can you imagine the mass hysteria surrounding this pool? How many of you in here have ever gone to a water park? Raise your hand. All right. It's 112 degrees outside, and you are standing in a line for 45 minutes for something that lasts 20 seconds. And you wait. So you got your little float, and you're just waiting in line, and keep waiting. And then other people, they start getting in. They're like, wee, splash. Wee, splash. And then you got the people that cut in line. And if you're a passive person, you kind of mumble under your breath, this is an injustice. But if you're more of the outspoken, bold type, you're like, hey, dude, don't you know the line's back there? You think you're better than me? And so here you are, you're just waiting. And all you care about is falling into something refreshing. We are not talking about this evening wee splash. We are talking about a body of water that has healing powers. Can you imagine that line? And think about all the people that are just sitting there at the edge, waiting to hear their bubbles. Have you ever been on the edge of a breakthrough? You've been believing. You've been praying. Maybe you even came forward. And you're just waiting to hear your bubbles. All right, God. Here I am. All right. And then you look around and see other people getting in. I just got engaged. Whee! Splash. I just got blessed. Whee! Splash. I got a promotion. Whee! Splash. And here you are, still, sitting on the edge, and all you're like is, where are my bubbles? And so it says that this man had been like this for 38 years. Now, from everything I read, it points to the fact that this guy was probably not like this his entire life. In fact, it says in multiple places that the way it's worded, it seems to point to the fact that somewhere along this guy's life, he was actually walking, enjoying life, enjoying company, doing things that most people enjoy doing. But then somewhere along the line, some tragic accident happened, and now he is lame. But there is something that we do also know about this guy. We know that at one point in his life, he had faith. And the reason we know that is he put his mat down by the edge of that pool. And so when he does, he's thinking, listen, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that angel is going to come by, bubbles are going to come up, and I'm going to be healed. So what ended up turning into a week turned into a month, and what turned into a month turned into a year. What turned into a year turned into 10 years, and then what turned into 10 years came 20, and then 30, 38 years. And what started out as faith is now opening up the door for bitterness. So because all this guy can think about and only things that he rehearses in his mind is all of the other people that should have helped him get in. All the other people that should have helped him get in the bubbles. Mom and Dad knew. I mean, seriously, they knew that I was like this. Where are they? And then Fred was like, yeah, I'll help you get in one day. Then Fred said, I'm going to go get some fish, and I hadn't seen Fred. People keep jumping in before, what about me? And so he sits here, just waiting for somebody else to get him in that water. See, the problem with this man is not really, yes, he was laying in his sickness, but his sickness didn't have really anything to do with his body. It had every single thing in the world to do with his heart. It's amazing to me the amount of people that are outwardly mobile, but inwardly dead. There's anger, there's bitterness, there's pride, and they lay in it for 10, 20, 30, 38 years. And so Jesus comes up to this guy. Of all the people that Jesus could come up to, he picks him. And so he walks up to the guy and he stands over him. He's like, do you want to get well? And the guy's like, you see me? I'm laying on a mat. Of course I want to get well. Jesus is not asking a ridiculous question. Whenever Jesus asks a question, he asks it in order to invoke a response. He knows the answer. He just wants you to verbalize the answer. And what this man is about to say will tell you everything. See, I would love to say that if Jesus came up to me and said, Andrew, do you want to get well? I would love to tell you that I would drop whatever it was and say, yes. But then I go back in my mind, and I remember all the times that Jesus Christ did offer me restoration. And all I could think about were the other people. Well, I would, but man, this girl that I'm dating, if I can just get past this relationship and the negative influence, then what I'll do is I'll be able to take that next step. If mom and dad were just understanding of what was happening and here to support me, then I would actually take that next step. See, this man's problem is exactly our problem. Jesus walks up and all he cares about is the problem. But all we want to bring up is the bitterness. Jesus does not care about the past. He does not care about the people. When Jesus comes up to you and asks you if you want to get well, you drop it and you take the restoration. And so Jesus asks him if you want to get well, and he says, what? I can't.
My parents, they would have got me in there. And then Fred, and if you see Fred, tell him I haven't forgotten. And all these other people, they just...
And Jesus is like, are you done?
Yeah.
And we can look at that and think, man, Jesus, come on, don't be so insensitive. I mean, that is a legitimate reason if mom and dad should have helped him get in. Some good friend should have, let's talk about the other people that should be helping this guy. We can't forget that Jesus was the Lion of Judah. And when a king speaks, things happen. When a king speaks, you just listen. And so he says, do you want to get well? He says, I can't. And all these people and all these others that should have helped me. And not once does Jesus even address this man's pity party. He says, do you want to get well? He says, I can't. Then I love what Jesus says. Stand up, take up your bed, and walk. Now, if you'll bear with me, I'm a very visual learner, so this is for you visual learners out there. Do you want to get well? I can't. Got my friend. Stand up, take up your bed, and walk. Okay. And if you read in the text, the religious leaders cannot stand it. They say to him, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know? It's the Sabbath. What are you doing that kind of thing on the Sabbath? It's not lawful to work. And by the way, who told you could even do that? And the guy's like, I don't know. Actually, it's a crazy thing. He healed me and just disappeared. But to answer the other question, no. No. I have been laying in that for 38 years. I'm not about to put down and lay back in what I've been laying in for all those years. You know what's awesome is that Jesus did not tell this man to throw away that mat. That mat represented his story. That was his testimony that he was carrying around. And there are still people today that tell you to put down your mat. The story is just a little too hard to hear. Kind of keep that to yourself. There are some of us that have been blessed enough to be saved from our sins. But there is a large majority of us that have been saved through our sins. And when the restoration happens, when He takes away the bitterness, when He takes away the anger, when He takes away the pride, when He takes away the frustration, you do not pay back the Son of Man by laying back down in what you've been laying in. When the Son of Man speaks, you listen. When the Son of Man speaks, restoration happens. Do you want to get well? And stand up. Whatever need you have tonight, please come now as we stand and we sing this song.
Life so marred by sin.